Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you, my brothers and sisters. In the name of Jesus, amen. It seems to me, at any rate, it seems to me that a modern society doesn't think very much about the devil anymore. And if they do think about the devil, they mistakenly portray him in some comic form, and thereby rendering him pretty harmless. He's pictured as a guy in a red suit with pointed ears and a pitchfork tail. Yet when we read in Scripture the accounts of Jesus' interaction with the devil and with his demons, we get a different picture altogether. And sometimes we forget what St. Peter told us in his first letter, 1 Peter chapter 5, that the devil is prowling around today like a roaring lion looking for those whom he may devour. The devil's activities can be seen quite easily if we're looking around, if we're paying attention. For example, in the advent of spiritualism, the advent of New Age thinking, and in so many other ways. The devil, you see, is a power base in our society today, in our world today. And in a giant way, we see his work every single day of our lives, and sometimes in very grotesque ways, as the devil attacks our children, both those who are born already and the unborn. In politics, in education, whatever field that people are endeavoring to roam in, people are always need to determine the power base. They need to determine the power base if they're going to succeed. For example, even in the church, there is a power base in the church, in church higher politics, if you will, an avenue of which I spent probably about a half a dozen years. And I'm here to tell you that it's not very pleasant. It's not very pleasant. The thrust for power in our world is overt. It's relentless. I mean, all we have to do is listen to the news. It used to be a joke several years ago that, you know, 5 minutes of the first 5 minutes of the news is all bad news. Now, all of the news we hear nowadays is bad news. You can turn on CNN, you can turn on Fox, you can turn on whatever station, and it is a 24-hour cycle of bad news, complete bad news. You see, this thrust for power is not only overt and relentless, it's the hallmark of the achiever in the things of this world. Today's gospel reading, we hear an account of power. Of power, the power of demons versus the power of Christ. It speaks of Jesus' victory over Satan and his minions. It speaks of his power in our lives, and it points us to the power base. You see, my friends, Jesus' authority in his word has the power to defeat every single stronghold in our lives. You all know the story. If you've been around the church for any length of time, you've heard this story dozens of times, I'm sure, that the prince of this world has power, that Satan wanted to be equal with God himself. That was his objective. He and his angels rebelled against the person and power of God in the heavenly realms. There was an issue of pride. And resisting and rebelling against the power of God is always the sin of pride. And of course, we all know this: how the story ended, that the devil lost his struggle to replace God and was placed in eternal judgment by God, showing us that even the devil is accountable. Even the most glorious of all the angels is accountable. So what did Satan do then? He turned his rebellion against God to God's creation. And with God's toleration, he led our first parents, Adam and Eve, into a rebellion against God. Our first parents came under judgment, and they lost their special relationship that they had with God. And now sin infects the entire world, leading to death through sin. All of mankind is now under Satan's dominion and are instruments of his rebel will. And in us, there is also, and we find that without Jesus, there is no help and there is no hope. You see, Satan bears away with himself all people who follow him, bears away to himself, because he is not at all going to be satisfied with being the last one to stand in eternal judgment of God. He wants to bring as many with him as he possibly can. But there's good news. And you know, if you've been around the church for any length of time, you know the good news. That the Prince of Heaven came to overthrow Satan's power. Jesus came into our world to confront Satan and his minions. Jesus, who is the God-man, came to defeat Satan, to rescue the world from sin, from death, and from the power of hell. Jesus is the only hope that we have in our world today. He alone is the champion. He alone is the only one capable of overcoming the evil power of the devil, rescuing creation. And he rescues creation by giving us a beautiful gift called the forgiveness of sins. And so what happened? Christ Jesus meets Satan on a battlefield for our soul. Satan's messengers in possessions of man's body, we hear in today's gospel reading, recognize Jesus as Jesus is in the synagogue, and he recognized him as being Jesus of Nazareth. He is recognizes the divine power of the Son of God in the person of Jesus Christ. And this evil spirit is seized with fear because he knows the power of Jesus Christ, and he is rightly afraid. He knows that the power of Jesus and the power of his word is stronger than anything else in all of creation. And with all his power base, Satan himself is absolutely no match for the Son of God. This, my friends, is an end times conflict we see in our gospel reading today. You see, Jesus' miracles and his teaching demonstrates that the era of salvation has finally broken into the world. And the demon recognizes this. He knows that Jesus is the Messiah. He knows that Jesus has come to destroy Satan and all the demons. And so the demon cries out, "I know who you are, the Holy One of God." And with a very stern word, Jesus said, "Be quiet. Come out of him." And he throws the man to the floor and comes out of him. And amazingly so, the man is not injured at all, is not harmed at all. You see, Jesus casts out demons, but not only that, in our gospel reading, he heals the sick. And the point of all of this is to show that Jesus is setting everyone free from their bondage of sin and death and the power of hell. So Jesus rebukes the demon and it leaves the victim. He flees from the presence of the only authentic power of the world. The man is thrown to the ground. He would destroy the man if he could, but he realizes that he is absolutely no match for the Christ. The evil forces of this world are still trying to destroy mankind, however. And in doing so, they come after us in so many ways. Most recently, what has gotten my attention is the attack on our children. How we see what's being taught in schools, the lies that are being taught in schools to our kids, how perfectly good kids could graduate from high school, go off to a public university, and come out as faithless as faithless can be, completely disbelieving. They went in as believers and they came out as non-believers. And even worse yet, just in this last week, abortion has come onto the scene once again. New York State signing into law a bill that would allow an abortion all the way up to the point of childbirth. The woman is in the labor and delivery room and she can still abort her child if she chooses. And they signed that into law in New York State, and what did the state officials do? They literally danced for joy. The governor of Virginia opined that there's even a bill in Virginia that they want to get through that would allow the child to be born and then decide after the child is born whether the child lives or dies. Friends, this is the work of the devil himself. But I also want you to know that only Jesus can seize the world from this slavery that the devil is trying to inflict upon us. And he wants to seize the devil and to seize us from this slavery, thereby freeing us to be the children of God. It's easy to react. It's easy to respond in anger, in frustration, and perhaps not show the type of love that we should show. And it's easy to stand in judgment over those who might be in favor of such types of things. And maybe it's easy to stand in judgment over, say, someone who has gone through an abortion. But what's the response that we should have? Instead, we should love them. Not judge them, but love them. Encourage them. Explain to them that Jesus loves them no matter what they've done. That as they repent of their wrongdoing, that Jesus' gift of love and forgiveness is still theirs. And we should love them too. That's the response. That's how we go after these dastardly, demonic activities that are going on in our world today, is we respond not in feats of anger, not in rage, but we respond in love. Bringing the message of God's love and forgiveness to the world. That's what Jeremiah was called to do in our Old Testament reading. Those were the words that God was putting in the mouth of Jeremiah to speak of God's salvation to them. And here's even better news, dear friends, as we have this very promise from our Lord where He says, don't worry about what you're going to say when you're called upon to speak. Even if you have to stand before kings, before governors, before those in authority, don't worry about what you're going to say at that time because it won't be you speaking anyway. It'll be the Holy Spirit speaking through you. You see, by His death and by His resurrection, Jesus completely and finally crushed the head of Satan and his kingdom. And He gives eternal life to everyone who believes. Yes, the devil is still prowling around like a roaring lion, but it doesn't end there. Scripture admonishes us to be of good courage, to be on guard, to recognize that God has given us armaments to protect ourselves, to defend ourselves, such as the shield of faith, which is there to extinguish the flaming arrows, or I like how the New American Standard Version renders it, the flaming missiles that the evil one fires at us. He gives us these armaments of defense, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, shoes to fit our feet with the readiness of the gospel of peace. Not judgment, but peace. You see, our lives now reflect this power base of Jesus. Our lives, because of who we are, because we are God's children, because of our identity in Christ, our lives now reflect this power base in our hearts. You see, the people in our gospel reading, they see firsthand and they realize what Jesus has done, and they realize the reality of Jesus' victory. But we are also to know this power, and we are to trust in Him alone for our salvation. His actions and His words demonstrate who He is in His person and in His power. I mean, this is called faith. We are to see this and we are to believe it. And we're also to live in confidence and in complete victory over our Savior and what He has done for us. What He has done for us, not just now, but we're also to live in confidence of what He is going to do for us in the future. And so as we know of what He has done for us and how He is destroying Satan's kingdom, we can now live in His power as His children each and every day. We can stand up to strongholds that the enemy tries to put in our path, because the word of the Lord can demolish and is powerful enough to demolish all these strongholds that the devil throws our way. You see, the power of Jesus, my friends, is in His Word. And so as we grow in His Word, we grow in His power. And in times of stress, in times of trial, we come to depend on Christ more and more, because we realize that as He promised, He is never going to fail us. He's never going to leave us. He's never going to abandon us. He's always going to remind us that He is with us always to the very end of the age. Society may be turning against us. Society may, as it is now, turning against Christianity. But God never will. Christ never will. Because it is in Him that we have hope. It is in Him that we have assurance, and it is through Him that our eternity is secure. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, may keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.